97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back to the show. Joe Stazak in the house. Connor Thomas, my esteemed producer behind the glass. KC up 48 to 31. Looks like they're going to punch it in again. And it looks like they're going to punch their ticket to the AFC Wild game. Good job hanging in there, boys. If you bet the game, you're got away with one. Not too often do you come back from 34 down. But we're talking about big choke jobs, and that'll be a big choke job. That'll go in the annals. Bill Bryan losing a 24-point lead. We totally dropped the ball on one, Connor and I. We totally dropped the ball on one. Maybe this might be the greatest of all time because it happened in one of the most popular sports of all time by one of the most popular slash unpopular teams on the biggest stage under the brightest lights. It was the Patriots beating the Falcons after being down 28-3 late in the third quarter. How did we miss that? That's ridiculous. Another choke job along those lines. I gotta be honest. When the Seahawks got down to the 1 yard line a couple years ago, and Darryl, I forget his last name, but Pete Carroll had Russell Wilson throw that ball, and Malcolm Butler stepped in front of him and picked it off instead of giving it to Marshawn Lynch, who had a monster game and he's a beast. He only needed 1 yard, and turning that around. See, that changed the whole landscape of things. If Seattle wins that game, they're a back-to-back champion. That's hard to do. They'd be the first since the Patriots did it in the early 2000s. Before that, it would be the Broncos in the late 90s. That is tough to do. They would be considered a mini dynasty. But because that doesn't happen, Brady gets his fourth ring, and all of a sudden, now the narrative is Brady wins again just because of an interception. Now, he did a great job. They were down, They were down 12, 14 points. They were down 10 points. They were down 24-14 in the fourth quarter. Brady put two drives together, going 13 of 15 combined, right down the field twice to give his squad the lead. And then, you know, we talked about that. Russell Wilson did a great job bringing his squad back, but it was a bad call by Darryl Bevell and Pete Carroll making that call. You know what's interesting? You know what's interesting, Connor? And I was thinking about this the other day watching the Eagles and the Seahawks, and I think about this when I see him, but obviously, he was playing us, and there was a lot of coverage on him and focus on him, and I love him. He's like my second favorite quarterback in the league. I love Russell Wilson. I've not heard one person criticize him for throwing the pick. I've never heard anyone criticize him. It's all about Pete Carroll and the call, or about how great a play that Malcolm Butler was. I never heard, any other quarterback or any other situation, if he throws a pick down there, oh, man, he's the villain. He's the all-time villain. But Russell Wilson, I never hear anything. When that play comes up, I never hear anything about Russell Wilson. Why is that?
Yeah, I don't know. Now that you bring it up, and that's a great point that I don't think I've ever heard before. Maybe it's because it's such a quick hit play. He's throwing to a spot that it's almost designed for him to have the ball there. He made a throw that the receiver, in theory, could have made a play on.
Yeah.
So that could be part of it, but I don't know if that happens in Philly. We're looking at McNabb or Wentz or
right,
whatever it might have been.
I think the offensive coordinator and Pete Carroll kind of stole the attention away from Russell Wilson, but putting him in that position to even throw a pass there was ridiculous. I couldn't believe when he dropped back. I'm like, what are they doing? Balls can get batted up in the air, and nothing good could come of that. And you got to give credit to Malcolm Butler, though. And Bill Belichick, they practiced that play during the week. They practiced that. Malcolm Butler saw the coverage, and he knew the slant was coming, and he jumped it. Made a great play. You know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? All right, 610-632-0975. Greatest choke jobs of all time. Locally, it will forever be known as Black Friday. 1977. Phillies and Dodgers in the NLCS. Series is tied. It's a best of five. Series is tied at one. I don't necessarily have all the details with me, but I know the series was tied at one. The game was at the Vet, and the Phillies had a 5-3 lead, I think, with two outs in the ninth. And then all hell broke loose. There was a bunt single by Manny Mota, and Greg Luzinski plays a ball off the wall when Jerry Martin should have been in for defensive purposes. Then he throws the ball in and gets away from Ted Sizemore, gives the runner an extra base. A ball goes off of Schmidt's foot, a line drive to Boa where he grabs it, throws the guy out at first, which he was out by a step, calls him safe. They lose the game 6-5. Dodgers took a 2-1 lead in the series, and then they won the next game. They beat Steve Carlton the next night in the monsoon. But that was that. Connor, you might have been too young for that. That was Black Friday.
Yeah, and I just took a look at it. Losing 4-1 the next game. You've got Lefty on the mound, and you see him go out. Giving up four, I haven't seen the game, but in a monsoon, it's tough. Getting held to one run for the Phillies, that's a choke. That's a hard
Well, the
swallow.
Whole series, I mean, that was the big choke job was the game before, and then Lefty goes out in a monsoon. I think their heart was ripped out at that point. It was really tough to recover from. But you thought Lefty's on the hill. Come on, get it together. We'll get the win here. We'll see what happens in game five. And back then, it was 2 and then 3. It was 2 at one team's place, like the Dodgers had 2, and then it would be 3 in Philadelphia, so the deciding game would be in Philly. But I remember that was like getting kicked in the gut. I was a huge Phillies fan. I mean, I'm a Phillies fan now. Huge. You would not find a bigger Philly fan than I was back in the day. All right, so we want to talk a little bit about wide receivers, shall we? Shall we talk about wide receivers? Because DK Metcalf had a pretty good game. On the Eagles last week, and he was selected. Where was he selected? He was selected 64th in the draft last year. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside was drafted 57th, and Terry McLaurin from the Washington Redskins, who had a nice year and he killed the Eagles this year, was drafted 76th. This is what I'm talking about drafting and having impact guys come in right away and help your club. How'd that work out for Seattle in their biggest game of the year? The two biggest catches of the year. He had a touchdown catch and then one which was ballsy as hell, throwing that ball deep on third down when they could have turned the ball over to the Eagles and they would have had one more shot at it. But that was just, I mean, ridiculous. Just ridiculous the way he played in that game and the fact that the Eagles missed out. They missed out, and then they have some wide receivers coming up in this year's draft. And believe it or not, hold on 1 second. Believe it or not, I'm going to call them up here because I was doing a study on them yesterday. So I was looking at these guys because obviously the Eagles need to focus on the wide receiver next year. Now they have the 21st pick. 21st pick overall in next year's draft, and they have 10 picks. They have 10 picks. That's right. They have 10 picks next year. So there are a couple guys on the board. I can't call them up for some reason. Maybe you have them, bro. Here we go. There was wide receivers. Here we go. Okay, there was one from Oklahoma. And what was the kid's name from Clemson? Do you have the kid's name from Clemson?
Yeah, T. Higgins,
that's right, T. Higgins. And then there's the kid from LSU, was it Justin Johnson?
Jefferson.
Justin Jefferson. Both those guys you're going to see focus tomorrow night. Both of them. T. Higgins, I think, has 25 touchdowns in the last 2 years. He's been a stud. Justin Jefferson's a stud. The game's going to be interesting. I won't tell you who I like because I want Connor's pick first in that game. Who do you like in that game, man?
I've already got some money on it. I love LSU. They're just one of those teams. Joe Burrow's been playing out of his mind. Heisman winner.
He has.
Coach O, that's a guy that those kids love to play for. And I think that's underrated in a college game of how... Now, we see it with Doug here, and scheme is more important on the pro level. But having kids who have classes going on and other stuff going on in their lives besides just football as a lifestyle, having a coach you want to play for, Coach O is the ultimate example of that guy. I love LSU to roll over Clemson.
Interesting. See, I'm going the other way here, and I'll probably lose because that's what I do when I bet games. I'm looking at a potential three-time champion. It would be 3 and 4 years. It would be back-to-back. They have a 29-game winning streak. They are the champion, the incumbent champion. If you told me that, don't give me the opposition yet. You told me that with opposition X. I'm thinking Oh, they got to be a favorite. Let me think. I don't know who they're playing, but they have to be like a 7-point favorite with that going for them. They're a 6-point dog. Anytime I can get that, you know, the incumbent champion, back-to-back champion, could be 3 in 4 years. I love Dabo Sweeney. I love Trevor Lawrence. It's not like they have a stiff quarterback. They probably have the best quarterback coming out the following year. Getting 6 points, out of principle, I would take that. I would take that out of principle.
Yeah, I see your argument there. It's almost like two cults colliding, where you've got the team that's been there for a couple years and they're national champions, and they've been there, and Coach Sweeney's got these guys playing well every year. They're undefeated. They beat Ohio State. They take down a team that was the best team in the nation for a lot of this year. And then you've got LSU, who's the up-and-coming, with these guys that Joe Burrow came out of nowhere. He was a backup at Ohio State and transferred. Now all of a sudden he's a Heisman winner. And they've got all these young wide receivers that are dynamic playmakers. It's going to be a great, great, intriguing game, and especially for the Eagles looking at the wide receiver talent like you were talking about earlier.
Well, here it is. Clemson's T. Higgins, 6'4", 200 pounds. His sophomore and junior years combined. Now, he's junior. 115 receptions, 2,051 yards, 25 touchdowns, and he averages 17.8 yards per catch. Now, let me go through the other two guys that I think could be guys that fall to the Eagles, and then I'm going to ask you who you want. There's a wide receiver from Oklahoma. Three of these guys were all in the Final Four. If you want to consider Oklahoma in the Final Four, they got bounced like in the first quarter. CeeDee Lamb from Oklahoma. He's a junior, 62 receptions, 1,327 yards, 14 touchdowns, averages, wait for it, 21.4 yards per catch. Now, there's a lot of talk about the Raiders being in love with him. The Raiders selected 12, so he might not get past, number 12 in the Raiders. And then there's Justin Jefferson from LSU. We'll see him tomorrow night as well. He's a junior, 102 receptions, 1,434 yards, 8 touchdowns, 14.1 yards per catch. Who do you go to there if you had your pick of all three?
Yeah, I'm 100% going CeeDee Lamb. I love that huge average of just being able to take the top off of defense.
It's a good call.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it is unbelievable. Well, the Eagles potentially could have one of those three guys. So if you want to watch the championship game tomorrow night, you might be watching a future Eagle in Justin Jefferson from LSU and, of course, T. Higgins of Clemson. CeeDee Lamb was in the Final Four. They got bounced by LSU in the opener, and they got bounced badly. What's Oklahoma doing in that Final Four? They have no defense. Lincoln Riley's a good coach. I like him. And he produced Jalen Hurts, who's a Heisman candidate. Kyler Murray, who won the Heisman. Baker Mayfield, who won the Heisman. You know, and the team's always the Sooners, man. I'm Sooner born, I'm Sooner bred, and when I die, I'll be Sooner dead. Rock Oklahoma. Sorry. Yeah, I mean, and they just got waffled by LSU. And that's what scares me a little bit. If I was going to take the game or I'm a Clemson fan, how easy it was for Joe Burrow. He threw 7 touchdown passes in the first half. 7 touchdown passes in the first half. Now, he's going to be coming out. Trevor Lawrence has one more year. Tua's coming out. Justin Herbert from Oregon's coming out. Of those three, I'll ask Connor first. I'll ask Connor. Is Connor available or is he working with the engineers? Okay, he's working with the engineers. Of those three, believe it or not, despite the injury, I go Tua there. I go Tua. To me, he's got everything. He needs to get healthy, but he's got everything. But what's going to work in his favor is it's going to scare the Bengals off because he has that injury. And he could fall. Well, the Giants don't need a quarterback. Dwayne Haskins with the Skins, I guess they think that's their guy. So he could end up in Miami. Nice warm weather, taking over a team in the AFC that has a tendency to beat the Patriots. And with him down there, much better place than Cincinnati. Cincinnati's where careers go to die. Carson Palmer should have been in the Hall of Fame like 10 years ago when he was still playing, except that he was playing with the Bengals. And God bless him. He had them in the playoffs a couple times, had winning records. One of the best, most gifted quarterbacks I've ever seen, Carson Palmer. Never got all the hype that other quarterbacks get because he played in Cincinnati. And if I'm Joe Burrow, I'm miserable looking at that draft board. I am miserable thinking I'm going to Cincinnati. Seriously? You know, it's not necessarily a glamour town of the National Football League. Doesn't have a great history. What do they have? They've made the playoffs, what, 6 of the last 8 years, lost everyone under Marvin Lewis, 0-6 under Andy Dalton. So, yeah, they're looking to move on from Andy Dalton, and Joe Burrow would be the guy that Cincinnati drafts, but it wouldn't be a shame for him if he ends up in Cincinnati. But Tua's my guy. If I was the Bengals, I'd take Tua. I think he has everything. He's got speed. He doesn't have the height. He lacks a little height. 6'1", he's not a Smurf. You know, he's not Tim Tebow. He's not Michael Vick. You know, Michael Vick, believe it or not, kind of a Smurf. He's 5'10". It's just that he runs like the wind. People forgot about that. And his arm, I've never seen an arm like that. I mean, we as Eagle fans have been blessed with some quarterbacks with some arms. You got Donovan, you got Randall, you got Michael Vick, you got Carson Wentz. Those are some gifted arms, really gifted arms. But, you know, I was talking about Tua not being a Smurf. Throws a great pass, and it's a pillow too. It's not like it's a hard ball to catch. Throws it a mile, can run like the wind. Is smart. Is clutch. I think the guy who played for the Ravens, who beat the Trent Dilfer. Thank you, Trent Dilfer called him the best prospect he's ever seen. Best prospect he's ever seen ever. So, I mean, I'm not saying Trent Dilfer is the be-all and end-all, but for someone to say that who watches tape and watches, you know, these guys coming out of college and whatnot, he's the best ever. Got to get that hip problem fixed, though. And it looks like he'll make a full recovery from that. So I would, if it was me, and even if he had to sit out a year, I take him. See, I would, and Connor, I'll ask you this. If you have a guy you know is the guy you want, that's the guy who's going to take your franchise into new heights. But he's got to sit out a year first. He's not going to make an impact in his first year. He's got to sit out a year. And you have Joe Burrow sitting over there as well. That's a pretty damn good quarterback, highly rated. He would start right away for me, but I still think Tua has a bigger upside. Which way do you go?
It really depends on the situation the franchise is in that takes him. If you have kind of a stopgap, a quarterback that could buy you a year, or even preferentially a quarterback that can kind of tutor that guy. I think an Aaron Rodgers behind Brett Favre, Pat Mahomes behind Alex Smith in Kansas City. We have seen that sitting a year can help a quarterback with their development. Pat Mahomes comes out firing after he sits in his second year. Aaron Rodgers, we know what he turned into after his time under Brett Favre. So there's benefit to that. Yeah, absolutely. So there's benefit to sitting that guy. And if Tua's your guy, I'm sticking with that quarterback even if we lose a year.
Who's your guy?
I like Burrow's better, though.
Like Joe Burrow?
Yeah,
okay.
When it's all said and done, that injury scares me too much.
Okay, what if he didn't have the injury? Curious.
Well, then you've got to... I think Tua leads Alabama a little bit better. I think Alabama finds their way in without that injury, without him being banged up this year. So I would have had to see how it played out without that. But before he was injured, Tua was top of my draft board.
Top of your draft board. See, that's what I'm thinking. And I'm thinking if he can recover 100%, and that's my guy going forward for the next 14 years, then I don't worry about year one. That's just me. Other franchises, remember, you got coaches out there who want to save their job. So they're worried about winning now. They're worried about winning now and having an impact guy step in right away and get some things done. How's that game going, by the way, that Kansas City game?
We got a 51-31. Chiefs up 20 with 2:44 to go.
The 31, the Chiefs over the Houston Texans. Now, in case you just tuned into that game, you're thinking, well, the Chiefs just rolled these guys. There's no storylines. Patrick Mahomes, you know, did his thing. What did Patrick Mahomes have? He had 5 touchdown passes, no picks, no sacks. You know, threw the ball, slung the ball. What did he sling the ball? 35 times. All right. 321 yards. It's a nice day from 5 touchdowns, a rating of 134.6. On the other end, you have a guy who didn't have a bad game. 27 of 45. I'm talking about Deshaun Watson, speaking of Clemson. 2 touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked 3 times, a rating of just under 100. I'd be like, oh, you know, that's probably a good game, probably pretty close. 20-point deficit right now, the Texans have a 20-point deficit with the Chiefs. Now, if you just tuned in, they had a 24-0 lead. They had a 24-0 lead. What do you say if you're Bill O'Brien in the press conference and, you know, usually coaches come out and they give you like a minute first on what they thought of the game and whatnot. I mean, what do you say if you're Bill O'Brien?
Can I get a good recommendation for my next job? That's all you can say.
I'm telling you, games like this and their history of, you know, getting bounced in the playoffs early, they cost guys their jobs. And I know there's some people that want him out of there. You know, want him out of. Do you like Bill O'Brien?
I can't say I followed him too much. The Texans really haven't been on the Birds' radar at all, and I focus more on the Eagles. But as a guy who's never really been able to get over the hump and isn't really a proven winner at this level, I don't know how you can like him after this collapse.
Yeah, it's another collapse and another, you know, they just don't have it in the playoffs. I think they won a playoff game last year. I forget who they played. They won a playoff game and then get bounced. They got bounced. They got bounced the year before at home in their first playoff game. A couple years ago, they were the top team in the league defensively, but offensively they were down to their third string quarterback they had to trot out there. Did not win the game, understandably, but that's a team that just struggles in the playoffs. And hey, listen, they're up against the Chiefs. Chiefs coming from a week off, ready to get after it. You know, they have something to prove, and they did that. 28 points in the second quarter. That's impressive. When you're down 21-0, it changes your mentality a little bit, too. If you're a guy who's going to, you can go two ways. You can go, I'm going to take this team and I'm going to do some things here. Or you can kind of wither away and say, oh, we got no shot. I make one more mistake and we're done. All Patrick Mahomes did was put up a 28 spot in the second quarter, 13 in the third, 10 in the fourth. Going to be tough to beat. Going to be tough to beat. And since Baltimore's out, New England's out, KC hosts that game. KC, this might be Andy's year. And they're playing the Titans, a 9-7 Titan team. Not knocking the Titans. They knocked off the Patriots and then went into Baltimore and really handled the Ravens. So not knocking them. I mean, you know, the slate is clear once you get to the playoffs. Forget about 9-7. They're 2-0. The slate is clear. Baltimore's 0-1, Titans are 2-0, but I you got to like Kansas City in that game, and Kansas City to go to the bowl, and who would they play? They'd play, I would love to see them play San Francisco. Would you like that, Connor?
Yeah, absolutely. That's an intriguing matchup. You got the defense against Mahomes and Andy's offense. That would be great for me.
How about Andy? So I think he's in the Super Bowl this year and has a decent shot to win it. I do. We'll see if he gets off the schneid. Maybe I promise I will stop getting all over Andy Reid if he wins a Super Bowl. And that's what I'm a little concerned about, because I love pounding on him. And I'm not going to be able to pound on him anymore if he wins a Super Bowl. So that's called schadenfreude. But no, I'm okay with Big Red. If he wins one, great. He did a great job in KC. He's a good coach. I don't think he's a great coach. He certainly can build a program. He came here. The team had, they have 3 wins. 2 years later, they were 11-5. Made the playoffs all those years. They were competitive. I would rather have a Super Bowl and be not competitive in the other years than just be competitive and making it to the precipice every year. But couldn't get it over the hump, couldn't get it done. Goes to KC, a 2-14 team, turns them right around to an 11-5 team, and right now has them heading into the AFC title game. Steve Callis coming along at 6:40. He'll break down the games, and he'll talk to us a little bit more about the game tonight, Seattle and Green Bay. And I'm Joe Stazak, and I'm coming right back after this. 97.5
The BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Fanatic.
Oh, the Chiefies are in victory formation. Victory formation. The Chiefs looks like they're on their way to the AFC title game. They're beating up on the Texans right now, and soon it'll be a final 51-31. So it looks like Andy Reid, one game away, from the Super Bowl again, just like he was there last year. Just like last year. Eagles select 21st, by the way. In case you were wondering, they select 21st. And I'm looking at the top pick. Top pick's obviously the Bengals. Then it goes Washington, Detroit, the Giants are fourth. They don't need a quarterback. Well, Detroit has Matt Stafford. Skins have Dwayne Haskins, I guess. See, that's interesting. If you're faced with Joe Burrow or Tua and you have Dwayne Haskins, I'm bailing. I'm picking up one of those guys. Forget about Dwayne Haskins. You can go take his selfies elsewhere. I mean, are you serious? Really? No, that's not happening. So they're 21st, and I'm looking at teams who need wide receivers. We need wide receiver help. It looks like, actually, this mock draft has Tua going to Miami, which is what I said earlier. All right, well, we shall see. Anyway, 610-632-0975. Let's go to Mike in King of Prussia on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Joe, how you doing?
Oh, pal, how you doing, man?
Joe?
Yeah, how you doing, bro?
Can you
hear me?
Hello?
You there, bro?
Hey, I got you. I'm sorry about that.
Sorry, man.
Hey, so I'm an Andy Reid. I sports hate Andy Reid. So
right.
I don't really hate Andy Reid.
Right, of course not.
Yeah. So here's my thing. I can't root for this guy. I hope he never wins the Super Bowl. and this isn't my main point, but like, for a guy to hire an O-line coach and make him a D coordinator.
Yeah, that was
bad. Andy, a lot of people don't touch on this, but Andy was an abysmal drafter. Like, especially in the first and second rounds, the Jaquan Jarrett, the Fireman, the Freddie Mitchells, the Matt McCoys of the world, he has a track record of futility with his first pick that is almost unparalleled.
Like, I totally agree. Except for Patrick, he did a good job with Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, but here's my thing. I just can't root for this guy, and I get tired of everybody in this Delaware Valley like having some shrine to the guy, like he did anything for us. He never won a Super Bowl here. Like, I just get tired of hearing it.
Do people have shrines of Andy Reid? Gosh, I don't know anybody who has a shrine of Andy Reid. I know people who really, really love Andy Reid. I'm not one of them.
Yeah, I'm not one of them either. So here's my thing. I talked to you yesterday, and I said the Eagles making the playoffs wasn't good for them, right? Well, to add to that point, now we're in the 21st pick in the draft, right?
Yep.
Had we not made the playoffs, we'd be in the mid-teens somewhere.
That is correct.
And we'd be able to go up and get one of these wide receivers and not worry about, you know, getting shut out on these top three wide receivers or someone coming from behind and getting one of these wide receivers. Like, if there's a run on wide receivers early, we're just out in the cold. And now we have to, like, we're still not getting the top guy, and we have to settle for second best. Like, making the playoffs to the Eagles did nothing for us this year. We have so much to rebuild. We don't have a higher pick like we could have. Like, the front office doesn't, I don't feel like they really understand the magnitude of the situation, like how badly we need to rebuild this team from the ground up. Like, making the playoffs did nothing for this team beneficial. Yeah, we got one extra game, and we got to see our quarterback get a serious concussion that took him out. So what was the point? Like, honestly, I'd rather have not made the playoffs, and, you know, everybody had to take a good hard look in the mirror. But, no, we got our game, and our quarterback got injured, and our backup quarterback got injured. Everybody gets injured, so... You know, what was the point? Like, tell me.
Well, obviously you're playing to win, and you have coaches that are coaching for their jobs, and you have Carson Wentz who's trying to, you know, get some playoff experience and whatnot, and you have guys on practice squads that are, you know, getting their first opportunity, and, you know, the coaches aren't the ones when you say tank, it's not usually the coach or the players that are tanking, it's the organization that's tanking. They will give you, they'll saddle you with players that aren't good enough. The coaches don't usually tank. Coaches are trying to win games and players are trying to win games. I mean, look at the Dolphins. They had a tank set up and next thing you know, they start winning ball games.
Yeah, against us. Like,
yeah.
once we got beat by the Dolphins, everybody should have just packed it in for the year. Like, that's how bad we, and this game, the this Kansas City game should show you how far away talent-wise we are on offense from being an elite-level team. We have never put up these kinds of points, and, like, we don't have the firepower to do it, and that's how far off we are.
Bro, we are so far off, it's not even funny.
But no one wants to hear that. They're like, well, we got Carson. Carson can do it. No, Carson needs talent. Carson is a good to very good quarterback, but he needs talent, and we don't have it.
Yeah, I agree. And, Mike, I talked about, you know, how many guys they have on this team that weren't homegrown. They were free agents or trades because they don't draft well. And that catches up with you. They caught lightning in a bottle in 2017 because all of their trades and all of their signings worked. But that's not how you build a team.
And it's an outlier. If you look at the past 10 years, has showed us anything about what Howie's done, that was a complete outlier, and everything else is just what he is, and that's not very good as a GM.
No, I totally agree. Michael, I appreciate the call, man. Always good talking to you. Mike always has a lot of good things to say. He's not exactly on the positive side of things, but he's been adamant that the Eagles should not make the playoffs, and this was a long time ago. You know, he saw it coming. Yeah, listen, hey, I got to be honest. I'm looking at these mock drafts. Some of them have 5 wide receivers going before 21. Some have 4. Some have 5 wide receivers going before 21. So, hey, listen, you know, you can get guys. Listen, DK Metcalf was a second-round pick. You can get guys in the 3rd round. You can get guys in the 4th round. You can find them. They're out there. Russell Wilson was a 3rd-round pick. Joe Montana was a 3rd-round pick. Tom Brady was a 6th-round pick. I mean, there are guys out there but you got to find them. You know, and I always wondered why some guys just adapt to the NFL and some guys don't. Did they get slower? Did they forget how to play football when they got to the league? Because these guys who weren't great college players, or they were okay college players, obviously, or they wouldn't be in the mix to become pro players, all of a sudden take off, and they really get the NFL. They really get it. And some guys don't, like J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, drafted higher than Terry McLaurin and D.K. Metcalf. Rough year, 10 catches. 10 catches for 80 yards. McLaurin and Metcalf had a field day, and Metcalf looked like a 10-year veteran against the Eagles last week. Just incredible stuff. Dean in Mount Airy on 97.5.
What's
up, Dean?
Joe.
How you doing, man?
Hey, my thing is that the Eagles need faster receivers and bigger receivers outside of Alshon Jeffries and the other receiver that we keep, you know, that can't catch the ball.
They need to do what? I'm sorry, Dean, say that again.
We have to get receivers that can coincide with what Carson's game is.
What would you consider Carson's game?
I mean, as far as we need guys who can catch the ball, run significant routes, and make plays on that route, which we need a faster receiver, is why I'm saying that.
They do need speed. They really have to work on their team speed because they don't have it. They just don't have it. You watch KC, you see Tyreek Hill. Now, he's like an elite runner, but I mean, guys like that.
Then we got even the receiver DK Metcalf that we talked about.
Yeah,
you know, on the 3rd downs or when they needed yardage, he's left wide open by himself catching the ball.
Yep, made that big catch on 3rd down to end the game. Caught that touchdown pass. I mean, the kid's clutch. You know, our guy did nothing. We need impact guys like DK Metcalf right away. Is Seattle advancing if they don't have DK Metcalf? We don't have guys to step in right away.
And also, Joe, we need to solidify who's going to be our significant running back. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I think Dean, they like Miles Sanders. I like Miles Sanders, too, but I like the Jordan Howard-Miles Sanders 1-2 punch. I think Jordan Howard's a better running back than Miles Sanders. They're two different kinds of running backs, but Howard's established. In 4 years, he's the leading rusher in the game, and he didn't even play much this year. I think it would be a mistake to get rid of him. Hey, we got to take a break. Steve Callis coming up on the other side. He was on yesterday. He broke down some games. He's going to break down this mess that just happened in KC, along with the Ravens game from yesterday, also the Vikings and Niners game from yesterday. And he'll preview the late game tonight, Seattle and Green Bay. On the other side, I'm Joe Stazak, 610-632-0975. We're coming right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back to the show. Joe Stazak here at 97.5 The Fanatic. We're talking Eagles. We're talking NFL playoffs. Before we get to Steve Callis, my man, I got James from Fishtown waiting on hold. What's up, James? How are you, my man?
Hey, how you guys doing?
How you doing, bud?
Hey, yeah, that was crazy, man. I just wanted to say, and see if anybody could remember or have any recollection of seeing a game where a team has been getting blown out and come all the way, not only back, that's happened plenty of times, but to end up blowing the other team out. Like, it was crazy. That's insane.
Yeah, I don't think you'll ever see a 44-point swing like that again. That was ridiculous. They were up 24-0. They lose by 20. You're right. That's interesting because we talked about Andy Reid blowing the 28-point lead a couple years ago. He blew an 18-point lead to Tennessee 2 years ago. And but they didn't, you know, Tennessee didn't blow out the Texans, and neither did or the Chiefs, and neither did the Colts. They won, but they had to, you know, scrape, scratch, and claw to get there. But no blowouts, and this thing turned around on a dime. 28 second quarter points, and Mahomes with 5 touchdowns, and just an unbelievable game. And without further ado, appreciate the call, James. Got to run because I got my man Steve Callis from Callis Remarks with your host Joe Stazak and Steve Callis. It's our podcast every week. And Steven, you just witnessed that mess of a game that saw the Texans up 24-0 in the game. And then what happened?
Just bizarre, but I will say this. The difference to me between this game and yesterday with the Titans is the Chiefs are built to come back. I can't say the way they did come back, but they're built to come back and score a lot of points, as you know. And frankly, yesterday when the Titans got in front of the Ravens are just not built to do that. And I think that's kind of the difference in those two games, if you thought somebody was going to come back and win when they were getting blown out early.
Just incredible because the 180-degree turn, I mean, everything's going right for the Texans. How did the Chiefs kind of get on track? Because it's hard, you know, sometimes mentally you're like down 24. I can't make another mistake. You know, you start to get more nervous. But Patrick Mahomes stayed pretty calm and cool, did he?
Yeah, I think it was more the receivers than Patrick Mahomes that were the problem. They had 5 drops in that first quarter. Or when they got down, Kelsey, the first 2 thrown to him were dropped, on one on a 3rd down. DeMarcus Robinson, the first 2 thrown to him, I think maybe 3 to him were dropped, and one on a 3rd down early in the game. So I think Mahomes was very comfortable moving the ball, but couldn't move the ball because his guys dropped 2 definite first downs and 5 passes overall out of like the first 8 or 10 passes of the game. Once they started catching the ball, I mean, they went, you know, 7 possessions, 7 touchdowns, and they were trying to figure out whether that's been done before, and apparently it's never been done, at least since 1970.
Wow.
I would think today they could go figure that out, because any game where they don't have 49 points on one side or the other is eliminated.
Right,
that's
right.
Got to be what? 75-80% of all games?
Right.
But the point is, it was just incredible to see. But I'll say it again, they're kind of built to score a lot of points quickly. I mean, they scored 3 touchdowns in 7 plays in the second quarter.
Wow.
And not to take anything away from Mahomes' 5 touchdown passes, but you know, 3 of them were like from 2 yards or 4 yards or 3 yards.
Sure.
I'm not knocking any of it,
sure.
But it wasn't like he was standing back there and slinging it, but you know, 5 TD passes is 5 TD passes. I understand that. And you know, all credit to them, because you saw the kind of thing happen yesterday with the Ravens, and you just didn't think, you know, they're not built to come back from behind. This team to me, is built to come back from behind. And today, obviously, just proved it. It was just bizarre watching it.
Real quick, before we get to the Titans and Ravens, the game you just talked about, does this kind of game get Bill O'Brien fired?
You know, I don't know, because I thought maybe the last one would have lose to the Bills. You're the home team again.
Sure.
You know, I'll say this to you, and my son, the Patriots fan, said this to me during the game. Does it get Romeo Crennel fired?
Mm-hmm, yeah, right.
The D coordinator, yeah. Of course, was with the Patriots and O'Brien all those years ago.
Right, exactly.
And that might be a better, you know, a lot of it depends on the relationship with the owner. A lot of it depends on his contract. Do they want to pay him, not the coach? You know, and they did have their own miracle comeback. Right? They had their own miracle comeback
against
16-0 last week, and Buffalo's got a good defense. So I don't know, but again, the Chiefs to me are the main team that can do what they did. The Titans can kill you, but it's with the running game, obviously, now. But the Chiefs are the kind of team to do what they did, and I don't know if any of us expected to see that, but they certainly are a team. If they score 21-28 in the quarter, you're not shocked.
No, you are not shocked. Now, they're going to take on the Tennessee Titans, like you mentioned, in the AFC title game. You have a 9-7 squad with Mike Vrabel, and you got Andy Reid. Of course, we know about Andy Reid getting to the precipice, but not quite getting over the hump. It came close last year. One of his guys went off sides, or that's a different narrative, that Super Bowl. But what kind of matchup is this? Can Tennessee hang with this team?
I think they can, because they can control the ball, but I'll give you an example. I spoke to our buddy Rick Morris in Cleveland, and I said, so if the Chiefs, before the game, if the Chiefs win today, you think they can beat the Titans? Because who knows now after what the Titans have done, right? And right. He wrote back and said, well, Kansas City has the ability to come from behind. Before this game, by the way, he said that, so good for Rick Morris. But, you know, the problem for me is right now I'll be leaning towards Kansas City, because I thought it would be them and the Patriots and frankly, in the AFC Championship game. I'll be leaning, but I think the point spread might be a little phony, because people may forget that they were losing 24-0 and just focus on the fact that they came back and scored 51.
Right.
And again, the Titans are going to be a little better ball control team than any other team we've seen, frankly, except maybe we thought the Ravens could be a great ball control team. But, you know, Ingram was hurt. That's another thing I'm sure we'll talk about.
But what happened to Lamar Jackson?
Well, Lamar Jackson, you keep him in the pocket. He's got to be a better pocket passer. He's improved a lot from year one to year two. And, you know, he had a little bit of an attitude after the game, which I thought was a mistake. But he did say, you know, oh, I've only played in two playoff games. It's my second year in the league. And he's right. But
two
if you look at what they did again the last 10 games or so,
yeah.
It was like incredible. So I think what happens to him, if you can make him throw the ball and his initial thing has to be a pocket passer, yes, he's improved from year one to year two, but obviously after yesterday, he's going to have to improve even more from year two to year three. And I'll say it again, the Jackson needs Ingram. Derrick Henry needs nobody. He needs
right.
good blocking in front
sure.
of him.
Yep.
So I think Jackson is less effective as a runner, coupled with Vrabel with a great scheme. And I thought Ingram being hurt was a key part of that game. I'm not going to say if he was healthy, they would have won. But I think if he was healthy, it would have been a different game, because they have two weapons back there. The Titans have only one, but so far, they've only needed one.
Yeah, they've only needed one. He's been a wrecking machine, just a wrecking machine. The NFL's leading rusher and Derrick Henry. All right, the other game, our boy Kirk Cousins didn't fare as well this past weekend as he did against the Saints. He goes up against Jimmy Garoppolo yesterday, and it wasn't much of a ball game, 27-10. I kind of like the Niners going at least to the Super Bowl. I think they're going to win it, actually. But and they came out off of a bye and looked pretty sharp.
Yeah, well, I thought two things in that game. First of all, the 49ers were just able to run virtually at will. I mean, there was one time during the game they ran the ball 11 times in a row. When do you see that?
Right.
So I thought that was the key. But even more important, defensively, I think I sent you a text on this, with 5 minutes left in the game, which by then was garbage time, the Vikings had four first downs.
Wow.
Four first downs in 3 quarters and 10 minutes. That's unheard of, especially with, you know, they were able to stop Cook. Thielen wasn't quite able to get open. Kirk Cousins, who was great last week, couldn't really do anything, and the pressure on him was incredible. Again, we talked before the game about the guys. They got back Quan Alexander. They got back Dee Ford. They got back some pass rushers. And that was more the San Francisco defense that was dominant the first 6, 7, 8 weeks of the year. And then when these two guys in the safety also, Tart, I think it was, he was out too, and they all came back yesterday. And I think that made their defense what it was the first 6, 7 weeks of the season when they were a dominant defense, I think second to the Patriots at the time. So that was a big thing, incredible pressure on Kirk Cousins. And the running game for the 49ers, I didn't think they could run it that well. I mean, I like the 49ers too and picked them, as you know. I also picked the Chiefs minus 10, so that turned out good. but miraculously good, as we discussed.
Sure.
But, you know, I think you're right about the 49ers getting through. I don't know if I like them to win at all. I have to see who they're playing first.
Sure.
But I'm leaning towards the Chiefs next week, but I think the spread's going to be a little high, Chiefs-Titans, because of what the Chiefs did today. And again, people might forget how that first quarter went.
Yeah, first quarter did not go so well. Dalvin Cook, bad game yesterday. 9 carries, 18 yards. Tevin Coleman really had a huge game. Last question, buddy, because tonight is the fourth game of the weekend. You got the Packers and the Seahawks. Seahawks barely getting by the Eagles, a very depleted Eagles team, but they do have Russell Wilson going into Lambeau tonight. Who do you like?
Yeah, I guess Seattle is the hot pick, but I'm going to stick with the Packers. You know, Russell Wilson has not been good against the Packers, 0-3. He's had 6 interceptions in those 3 losses. Even though everyone says, you and I included, he's a magician, he's a great escape artist, he runs, he slides, he's still been sacked 48 times this year. That's number 1 in the NFL. And even though they're 8-1 on the road going into Lambeau on certainly a snowy yesterday, who knows what today, field, Seattle 22nd against the run, 27th against the pass defensively. They've allowed 24 or more points in each of their last 5 regular season games. Now, the DK Metcalf, you were talking about him before, he's a star already. They have Tyler Lockett, so anything can happen. Clowney's playing for that contract, as you know. KJ Wright, Bobby Wagner, they're loaded defensively. But I still like the Packers. I think Aaron Rodgers has a lot to prove and knows it, even though he's Aaron Rodgers. They can run the ball on Seattle, and as Aaron Jones is an excellent runner. And Devontae Adams, a top wide receiver now, last year against Seattle, 10 catches for 166 yards.
Wow, and this just in, Aaron Rodgers, a 20-yard pass to Devontae Adams, the guy you're just talking about, Steve. 7-0 Pack.
Really?
7-0 Pack already as we speak. So
live radio, baby.
They went right down the field. 8 plays, 75 yards. Hey, great stuff. And go enjoy the game, pal. You know, go do your thing. We'll catch up with you next week. And I will certainly talk to you this week as we get ready for our podcast.
Always a pleasure, Tom.
You too, Steve. Steve Callis. He also has a group Facebook page, Steve Callis, Speaking of Sports. And if you can go on there and you can be part of the group, and you'll be able to check in to see what Steve does, what he's reporting on this week. He's also a writer and a very good friend of mine. All right, we've got to take a break. Marcus Hayes from The Inquirer coming up after the break at around 7:10. 610-632-0975. I'm Joe Stasiak here for 2 more hours tonight.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.